Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And it's one of our favorite times of the week. We wished, Bob Grove, that we could talk to you more about Penguins hockey in the weeks ahead, but that ain't happening. The Bob Grove Report, brought to you by Breakneck Tavern, your local Pittsburgh craft beer headquarters. What did happen last night, Grover, in the NHL was an unbelievable ending and game and third period in San Jose. And what did you make of the call against Cody Eakin, the five-minute major, and everything that transpired thereafter?
Yeah, guys, great to be on with you. What an amazing, amazing finish to that game. So, look, for me, they got the call wrong. That, you know, centermen coming together after a puck, after a face-off's been won or lost, happens all the time. I would say that, you know, probably Eakin got more stick into him than is normal. So I could, if you were going to push me and say, well, yeah, centers come together and they're going to push and shove after a draw has been won. But that was a little over the top on the cross check, and we're going to give them 2 minutes. I wouldn't have argued with that. But to assess them a major when, you know, first of all, let's hope Pavelski is okay, because it's scary. It's absolutely scary to watch a guy lose his balance and he can't break his fall like that. So that's where I should have started probably. But, you know, they gave him a major because of the injury, because he goes out cold when his head hits the ice. And I don't think that's the way you should determine penalties. I mean, for me, I'm okay with you saying minor, but then it's just bad luck. He loses his balance, and then even Stasny pushing him down, I mean, he didn't bowl into him. It was kind of incidental contact, and he's just trying to get back to the point, you know, to get his assignment. So I don't think, obviously, neither one of those Vegas players was trying to injure Pavelski. So I thought the major was the wrong call completely, but here's the thing that everybody in Vegas is forgetting about. I don't care whether you give a – if you have to deal with a major penalty and you have a 3-0 lead with basically 10 minutes to go in Game 7, don't give up 4 power play goals. So let's stop crying about the call and let's start asking, where was the penalty kill?
I'm with you 100%, Bob. I said the same thing. You're allowed to make a save or a kill in that situation. I mean, I'm with you. I thought it was a minor, not a major. I don't think the officials called anything on the ice right away, did they? There was no penalty even called, was there?
No. I mean, they came together after, again, this is like, you know.
Based on the result.
Right. And for me, that it was a freak accident that he lost his balance the way he did, and then he came into contact with another player. I mean, Stasny doesn't have that kind of reputation. So it's just hard-nosed hockey that unfortunately went in a bad way for Pavelski at that point in time. So I didn't agree with the way that it went down, but it doesn't change. Look, I mean, we, you know, for Penguin fans of a certain age, you can go back to, you know, Game 4 against Minnesota in the 91 Cup Finals with the Penguins with Troy Loney. The Penguins were hanging on to a one-goal lead in Minnesota. It's the third period. There's 7 minutes to go. He gets a five-minute major for high-sticking. And there was a lot of momentum that the North Stars had. They now have 5 minutes to work with. They could tie or win the game and take a 3-1 series lead. And the Penguins just shut them down on the penalty kill. So, look, I get it. It's 5 minutes. San Jose's got some major offensive weapons. Hurdle's an amazing player. He's had a great year. And it's okay if you give up a power play goal. Heck, maybe even two. But to just disintegrate in the span of 4 minutes, I'm sorry, that doesn't cut it.
Meanwhile, Bob, before we get to the Penguins, one more thing on that. It feels to me like they've cracked down so much on slashing, anything related to slashing, that the cross check has become sort of, I don't know if I should call it the weapon of choice something like that. And we see it all across the league now. Malkin got injured on a cross check. McCann got injured on a cross check. Just vicious four checks across the league.
Yep.
I wouldn't call this one vicious, but I think it's become really, really prevalent throughout the league that guys are using the cross check more.
Well, I would tend to agree with you, and let's go back to Nazem Kadri, right? I mean, I know he has a reputation as a hothead, and I know he's lost it before, but what did he do? He did the exact same thing. And, you know, the McCann play really should have been penalized, to be obvious, to be honest with you. So, yeah, I mean, it's getting to the point where it isn't that way with cross-checking, but as your point is well taken with flashing, players have got to unlearn a lot of behaviors about how they use their stick, and they're still on the learning curve of that.
Bob, let's talk Penguins a little bit. Since we talked last week, Rutherford's met the media, Mike Sullivan. First of all, what did you make of Rutherford's comments about how he thinks there's some guys that are comfortable in their careers after winning cups? Who do you think he was talking about?
Well, you're left to assume it's guys like I'm assuming he's talking about, is it Letang? Is it Malkin? Right? We know it's not Crosby, but doesn't it have to be one of the guys who have been around for a while and won them both? I mean, I don't think he's talking about Brian Rust, to just pick out a name, or Matt Murray. So I guess that's what he's talking about. But what I took away from that media session, be honest with you, is that while in the immediate aftermath, and even in the lead up to game four, all the talk was about where's the Penguins' speed, why hasn't their power play been better, why do they keep making these high profile mistakes, a lot of X and O type stuff. And now you've got to a point where you had Letang and Malkin saying the Islanders wanted it more, and then Rutherford on top of that comes out and says, well, this team really hasn't been a team since day one, and maybe some guys are more comfortable. So now, when you think about what moves need to be made over the summer for me, it's more about these intangible kinds of things that you're talking about, these chemistry kind of things that you're talking about, less about X and O and more about identifying who didn't have the right desire and who is too comfortable. That's harder to do, but I think that's the piece of it that maybe surprises you a little bit, and where the Penguins management has to think about, you know, when they're making moves. That's, for me, the number one topic to address.
How about Sullivan saying, you know, we got to play a little bit of a less risk game. Don't play the high risk stuff. And Letang basically coming out saying, I'm going to play the way I want. I'm not going to change. What did you make of that?
Well, it's sort of the way the question was put to him. Look, for me, what I heard in his answer was still, quite honestly, a lot of raw nerves, a lot of raw emotions, rather, I should say, even though it was a couple days later. It was still stinging him that they lost, and that, you know, he had led to, you know, he had made a couple plays that he obviously wanted back. But I get what Chris Letang is saying, which is, look, this is the player that I am. This is what's enabled me to get to the point where, and he could have said this. You know, a lot of folks thought, you know, before I got hurt the last time, I was a legitimate Norris Trophy candidate. Now all of a sudden, a few weeks later, I have to change my game. So I get it, and I don't think he should do that. I don't think he should, quote-unquote, change his entire game. What I think you need to see from Chris Letang is, as he gets older, and yes, he does live on the edge, yes, he does take some risks, that the number of times the risk goes bad and results in a goal the other way, you would want the percentage of those things to be decreasing as he gets older with more experience. That, for me, is what I saw in his game during the regular season. And that, for me, is what I didn't see from him in the four-game playoff. I didn't see that coming from him, but I get what he's saying. I don't think you can just ask him to play it safe, because now you're taking a major weapon away from the Penguins. He needs to play that way. You just want him to read the risk factor, read the game, the situation a little better, kind of like he did during the regular season.
Well, Bob, that leaves a lot of questions going forward here. And we're talking to Bob Grove, hockey columnist here at 93.7 The Fan, longtime Penguins opinion maker. I'm just going to ask you about a couple guys straight up, if you think they will be back, if you think they should be back. Would you agree that the untouchables are, beyond Sid, are Gino, Dumoulin, Gensel, and Murray? Are those the untouchables?
Yeah.
Would you include Letang in those?
Yeah, I wouldn't. I could see if they want to have a discussion about what I just talked about, and they think it's never going to happen with him, and is that a reason to consider trading him? Maybe, but I think, all things considered, that he's coming back. So I would sort of put him in that group that he's going to stay. I think people who are wondering about the Penguins' speed or lack thereof, tell me how you're going to help the team speed when you take Chris Letang away. So I think he's going to be back.
Well, tell me this. How are you going to help the team speed by keeping Jack Johnson in your top six?
Well, you're not. And so I would agree with you there. And as I've told you guys before, I think where the lack of skating ability could be, or where the skating ability as a group could be really upgraded, is on the back end. You know, but he signed for another 4 years. It's a manageable number. Was it 3.2? I mean, that's nothing. And every year that goes by, 3.2 looks smaller and smaller. So I don't agree with people who say he's untradeable. I don't agree with that. Obviously, it depends on what you're looking for. Jack Johnson, his penalty killing ability, his ability to play some physical hockey and block shots, there's a value to parts of his game that somebody could, given the right price, you know, could be engaged in taking. So, but I think, yeah, you know, improving the speed back there would help. And that might be part of the reason why Matt is maybe out of here.
Bob, I know how hockey coaches get treated with less respect in the NHL than in any other sport. And I wrote about this in the PG today. They get off to a slow start next year. Could Sullivan be in some kind of trouble?
For me, it would have to be really slow, because they didn't get off to a great start this year. You know, they had that great West Coast trip, and then after that, it really wasn't very good. And they didn't get going until March, which is traditionally what the Penguins tend to do. And it looked like they had kind of all their ducks in a row, and then it started to go south on them again. So, no, I don't think he's the issue, but he certainly has got to find a way to get – he's got to try, I think, maybe something different to get, Letang and Malkin especially. Gino just – he's got to reach Malkin in a different way. I don't know what that is, but for me, this was Malkin's worst year, and he got out of the gate well, and he never put it together for me after that, and I don't know why.
I don't think I asked you about him, Grover. Sorry to interrupt, but is Gino untouchable for you?
I don't think ownership or management has any view other than Malkin and Crosby. You know, Malkin joins Crosby in finishing his career in Pittsburgh.
What's your view?
I agree. I still think he can be an important player. If you're going to build something that results in another long run for a Stanley Cup, having that number two center is incredible. But he's got to play like one, and he didn't play like one for most of this season, and I don't really understand why that happened with him, as I said. So Dino was just a mystery all season, and it's going to take a lot from Sullivan to figure out how he can get him back to playing in a more effective way. But no, I wouldn't have any interest in trading him. And I think I will say this. I remember there was a lot of talk right now at the conclusion of this series, is this the end of an era? And I get it. I get why people are wondering, because of the age of Malkin and Crosby, et cetera. But I heard a lot of, is the window closing for the Penguins back in 2015? And the next thing you know, they won back-to-back cups. So to say that the Penguins can't win or come really close and make a long run at another cup with Crosby and Malkin, I don't agree with that. I think they can.
All right, Grover. So to boil it all down, and I want to phrase it like this, who should be gone among the prominent players? Who would you put at the top of your list of guys that if you could get a decent return, you would deal?
Well, we've talked about Matta, right? We know that they don't have the level of confidence that they need in him, or else he wouldn't have been a healthy scratch for the last three playoff games. He's only 24. He's won two cups. He does have value. He's making $4 million a year. So, as you look at what Rutherford has to do, number one, guys, is he's got to create a bunch of cap space, because he doesn't have any. So if he's going to make some changes, he's got restricted guys who aren't going to get millions and millions and millions, but he's got to sign them all to raises if he wants to keep them. Aston Reese, Bluger, Pedersen, does he want to keep Adam Johnson, Rikola, do they want him to be the 7th D or the 6th? Ethan Prowl, who had a great season. So he's got to sign a bunch of those guys, assuming that maybe Cullen is going to retire and Wilson's not coming back, and I don't even know that for sure, but he would need a contract if he is. How are you going to create cap space? Who has value on your team that you could live without. So Matta would be at the top of that list for me, and that's why I say Kessel. It's not because I don't. It's not because I'm saying it's Kessel's fault. He had a look at his points in the regular season. He had a very good season. There's no other way you can look at it. He didn't have a good playoff, but neither did anybody. But I'm just saying, does Phil Kessel have value in the trade market? And for me, the answer is absolutely he does. And he would help create the cap space that you would need to make a change. And I just keep hearing Mike Sullivan saying, I want to be harder to play against. And for me, nobody on that team is easier to play against than Phil Kessel. So it's not that I'm blaming him, and I get it. He had a great season, and he was integral to the Cups in 16 and 17, but he'd be the number two guy on my list, or the number one guy.
All right, Grover, in the last minute or two, put on your prognosticator haps. Game 7 tonight, Washington, Carolina.
It's hard to pick against Washington at home, given their experience and what they just went through in Game 6. So they miss Oshie big time. I would love to see Carolina win, not because I have something against the Caps, but it's the same reason I root for the Leafs, who haven't won a Cup since 67. Carolina hasn't even been in the playoffs in 10 years. I want them to have success, but I think Washington's going to win tonight.
All right. Seems like the Islanders haven't played forever. Islanders or Washington? Let's pick the next round real quickly.
All right, Washington. I'll take Washington in 6, and the layoff's going to hurt the Islanders, and it's going to hurt Columbus, too.
Columbus and Boston.
I'll take Boston in 6 in that series.
Dallas and St. Louis.
I think that one's going to go 7. I like what I'm seeing from both of these teams. I think Bennington's going to be the difference. The Blues have been playing incredible hockey now for 2.5 months. Maybe longer. I like the Blues in 7.
Boy, Ben Bishop's been pretty good too, though, hasn't
he? He has been. He's good.
So has Ben Lovejoy, by the way.
Yeah.
And then the last one, Colorado. Surprising Colorado. Boy, that McKinnon kid can play a little bit.
Oh, my God. What a series he had. I mean, Rantanen and some of those guys were great. McKinnon is just on fire.
He's a fabulous player. Colorado or San Jose?
I'm taking San Jose in 6 in that series. And I know Jones is a weakness for San Jose, but I think they're going to build on what they just accomplished. And if you remember, there was a time not late in the season, or fairly late in the season before they went into a slump, where San Jose was clearly the best team in the West. And so I think they're going to build on this crazy way that they won this series, and I think they're going to win that series, folks.
Grover, great stuff as always. We'll talk to you again soon. We appreciate everything you've done this season. I'm not even sure, Ron, are we going to have Grover here the rest of the playoffs? We are?
I think we should.
This
absolutely.
Is big news. Yeah, no, so let's absolutely. Announce it right now.
I was planning on it. Thank you guys for having me. I much appreciate it.
This is great stuff. We wouldn't think anything of doing anything else but having you, Grover. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Ron, that's the first I heard of that, and I'm very excited about that.
Me too.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game 10, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.